So this is work with Ian Anderson and Mark Fells at Utah State, and the basic question we're trying to answer is simply, when is it permissible to simplify a Lagrangian by an assumption of symmetry, by using some symmetry ansatz? Now, in general relativity, probably many of us have likely bumped into a question like this from time to time, and we think we've answered it. We've been playing with this for a little while now. We've sort of had enough of it, and we're writing a paper, and hopefully it will appear sometime by the end of the spring. In northern Utah, that could be as late as July, though. So, the idea, of course, is that oftentimes in general relativity and related field theories, we're interested in making some assumptions of symmetry in order to mathematically or physically simplify our analysis. And so let me just sort of remind you that we just saw an example of this, but let me remind you of the sort of most famous sort of symmetry reduction people try to make, which is the spherical symmetry assumption. This form of the metric should be pretty familiar to you. You can think of a spherically symmetric metric as characterized by four functions of two variables. And so when you're studying spherically symmetric reductions of a field theory, you sort of have a miniature field theory in two dimensions, characterized by these four fields, if you will, Q. Now, when we're doing symmetry reduction, oftentimes we would like to exploit a Lagrangian or Hamiltonian formulation for the reduced theory. Now, in the original theory, we'll typically have a Lagrangian, for example, the Einstein-Hilbert Lagrangian. And it's very tempting to try to build a Lagrangian for your reduced theory by simply sort of shoving your symmetry ansatz into the Einstein-Hilbert Lagrangian and viewing it now as a reduced Lagrangian for these reduced fields, Q. In fact, this sort of strategy for spherical symmetry, I think you can even find it in Pauli's old review of general relativity, that well-known review. And Pauli, I think, blames the whole thing on Weyl. So this sort of thing has been going on for quite some time. And whether or not it's a good idea to build your reduced Lagrangian this way sort of depends on the validity or the equivalence of two ways of computing the field equations. You can take your correct field equations and just restrict them to your metrics with symmetry, and you get some PDEs for the Qs. And this is always the right thing to do. But you can also try to take a shortcut. You can take your reduced Lagrangian and you can try and compute its field equations directly. Now, whether or not the reduced Lagrangian is valid for your reduced theory depends on whether or not these equations agree with these equations. And sometimes it happens that it works out, sometimes it doesn't work out. And so this led us to sort of think about this problem in some detail, and we sort of borrowed an idea of Richard Pollet's, which he called the principle of symmetric criticality, which translated into this sort of language amounts to saying that these two sets of equations always agree for appropriate symmetry groups. And the principle is supposed to hold for a given symmetry group irrespective of the Lagrangian. And we like this point of view because somebody's always tinkering with the Lagrangian and adding in new fields, changing the number of dimensions or something. And you'd like to know once and for all, if I'm going to make a symmetry reduction, when can I reduce the Lagrangian and when I can't, independently of the particular model you're happy with in a given day. So I want to emphasize that this principle is not always valid, otherwise it wouldn't be that interesting to talk about. and its validity is sort of a function of the symmetry group you're trying to impose. To try to understand what's going on, I'll just sort of remind you how you compute field equations, right? You vary your Lagrangian, you get two kinds of terms. You get a volume term with field equations here proportional to the field variations. You get a boundary term, a divergence or an exact form. Okay. The validity of the reduced Lagrangian to describe your reduced theory depends on how these two terms behave when you impose the symmetry. So, if you look at this volume term, and you restrict attention to fields with the chosen symmetry and field variations in that class, then what can happen is, in this little double sum I've shown you for a metric theory, some of the non-trivial reduced field equations can actually drop out of that sum, and so your reduced Lagrangian, in fact, will not give you those equations. So we call this difficulty when it arises the volume obstruction to the principle of symmetric criticality. And it's characterized by the fact that your reduced Lagrangian doesn't give you all the field equations of your theory. Another way in which symmetric criticality can fail, in which case the reduced Lagrangian isn't valid, is something we call the boundary obstruction. If this boundary term upon the imposition of symmetry doesn't reduce to give you a boundary term for that little reduced theory involving the Qs on the lower dimensional spacetime, then you'll find that what happens is this exact form, for example, becomes an exact form in the reduced theory plus some additional terms, which now are being treated as part of the volume term, and so they change the field equations from what they should have been. You get erroneous terms in the field equations, and so we have this problem that the reduced Lagrangian may give you enough equations, but it may not give you the right ones. So one of the main results that we've come up with is to show, is to sort of, you know, make this sketchy argument rigorous, and also to show that these are the only ways in which symmetric criticality can fail, and then look at a number of examples. For example, in rotationally invariant reductions, you can find that principle always works, and this explains why people get away with it all the time in almost every possible example you can think of. But in general relativity, there are also cases where both of these obstructions occur. In the Bianchi class B homogeneous cosmological models, this is a pretty famous difficulty that arises there. Noticed, I guess, goes back to Hawking and McCallum and Taub and others, that you can make these Bianchi B models and find that the reduced equations need not be the correct ones, coming from your reduced Einstein-Hilbert Lagrangian. The volume obstruction also occurs. If you look at these plane wave spacetimes, which are spacetimes with five-dimensional symmetry groups with three-dimensional null orbits, and you look right down the most general metric with these plane wave symmetries, shove it into your Einstein-Hilbert Lagrangian, say, you'll find that Lagrangian vanishes. All scalar curvature invariants vanish on these plane wave metrics. So, of course, you're not going to get any field equations out of the reduced Lagrangian, and this is an example of the volume obstruction. One of our main results is to show that you can check out the validity of this principle quite generally. Somebody hands you a symmetry group, you can go away and in about 15 minutes come back with an answer as to whether or not you can reduce your Lagrangian using the symmetry, once and for all, independently of the Lagrangian. In detail, what you do is you can check the boundary obstruction by computing some Lie algebra cohomology of the symmetry group relative to its isotropy subgroups. The volume obstruction is computed using some representation theory of the linear isotropy representation on the tangent spaces and so forth. The point is not so much the details, but that you can go away and just simply compute a couple of things and answer once and for all for any symmetry group whether or not the principle holds. Now, Petrov has given us a nice list of all possible symmetry groups, more or less, that can appear in general relativity. What he's done is he's actually characterized all Lie algebras of vector fields, which can be Killing vector fields for some Lorentz metric, independently of field equations. So you, in a sense, have a list, at least infinitesimally, of all possible symmetries that you could ever try to impose and make a model from. So it's natural, given that I'm claiming I know how to go and compute these obstructions and check whether or not you can reduce Lagrangians, it's natural to sort of go through this list and see what happens. We've done that. It's kind of a large list. I won't show you the whole thing. Let me just give you sort of a flavor of what you find. So you can go through this large list. I've sort of just binned them according to group dimension, one Killing vector, two Killing vectors, and so forth. I've shown you the fraction of the symmetry groups that appear that have the boundary obstruction, the fraction of the symmetry groups that appear that have the volume obstruction, and the fraction of the symmetry groups in this long list that actually obey the principle of symmetric criticality. And you can sort of just eyeball this and see that something less than half of all possible symmetry groups you might ever impose actually obey this principle. So in fact, it's not always a good idea. In fact, most of the time it's not a good idea to reduce your Lagrangian by a symmetry. Now, this is sort of a very sketchy statement of the results. There's a lot going on here. What we've done is we've taken all these results and much more and put them on a website. Okay, so you have to have a website now, so we did that. And the idea is we have all these information about these symmetry groups, more than just symmetric criticality issues, but lots and lots of information we generated. And we wanted to have a way of playing with it interactively and not have to leave our offices and go see our colleagues. So what we did is we built this website. It looks sort of like this. And what you can do is... what we have here is a list of all these symmetry groups according to where they occur in this Petrov book. Okay, you can click on one, and then you'll find all these windows fill up with various kinds of data. Things like, you know, what's the dimension of the group, what type of isotropy does it have, some Lie algebraic data, symmetric criticality is here, and so forth. Okay. So you can go and check all these things out. You can also, if you want, search another way. You can search this database by just putting in values for as many of these fields as you want. Click retrieve here, and this will show you the list of symmetry groups which have your desired attributes. So you could ask for four-dimensional groups that have the symmetric criticality principles invalid, and you can go and see which ones they are. Now, unless you happen to have this obscure book in front of you, it's out of print and hard to find, unless you happen to have your symmetry group in exactly the form of Petrov, this is not the greatest thing in the world. But what you can do is also, for every one of these symmetry groups, you can download a PDF file, which will have a summary of all the geometrical data that go into it. What do the vector fields look like? What do the invariant metrics look like? What do the reduced Einstein equations look like? And so forth. If you don't believe in any of that, you can download a MAPLE worksheet, which will allow you to check the calculations yourself using some software we developed. You can even then, of course, do some research on your own if you're interested. So if you're at all interested in symmetry reductions in general relativity or relativistic field theory, you might want to come and play here. Let me just conclude by saying that this is this software sort of in beta version, and there are no warranties implied or expressed. Lots of times it's Petrov offline, unfortunately, we're still tinkering with some of the displays, and we haven't quite got all the data actually online, and the worksheets and PDF files are still being created and put online. But it is out there if you want to play with it now, and all comments would be welcome. Thanks. Right, so there are two comments. The general strategy, the way you compute these two obstructions is very general. So you can do that for any symmetry group in any dimension, no problem. As far as the validity of all these data, these were computed for four-dimensional spacetimes. However, sometimes you're interested in symmetry groups with four-dimensional orbits or three-dimensional orbits in higher dimensions, and then it is not so hard to take some of these results and sort of use them to understand those higher dimensional problems. Yeah, well, I mean, if you come to me today and say I want to do Einstein scalar field theory, and I'll say, okay, well, I'll go and compute the equations and just see if it's working. Then you come back tomorrow and say, what about Yang-Mills theory? And, oh, no, I got to do it again. And what if I go up to six dimensions instead of four, and so forth? And so the point is that I can, once you tell me what the symmetry is, I can compute once and for all independently of the Lagrangian. So the point is that somehow this issue of when the Lagrangian reduces is not a function of the Lagrangian so much as it is of the symmetry group. So I would say in general it's kind of handy to know once and for all. I mean, there are certain Lagrangians that always reduce properly, right? The zero Lagrangian, L equals zero, right? Its field equations are zero equals zero. If you reduce the Lagrangian, you still get zero equals zero. Everything is working great. So some Lagrangians always reduce properly. We're trying to find out what symmetry groups are causing the trouble, not which Lagrangians.
I've noticed that people who couldn't use your software, they made it nameless. Back in the early days of Beyond Cosmology, there were some wrong papers written precisely because of this problem. Mm-hmm. And, well, I wonder if you look back at Beyond Cosmology to see which ones work and which ones don't, according to this.
Well, again, the Bianchi class B in general failed the test, but there are a few of those Bianchi class Bs that you can still generate a Hamiltonian formulation, for example. But those are ones that are using special features of the Einstein-Hilbert Lagrangian. But in general, if the symmetric criticality obstructions occur, I'll find for you some Lagrangian that doesn't reduce properly. That's sort of the claim. He did. He looked at the Bianchis, yeah, in some detail. So we certainly match up, absolutely. Absolutely, we match up with that. In fact, it's still an interesting question, by the way. Even if symmetric criticality fails and the Einstein-Hilbert Lagrangian fails to induce a Lagrangian on the reduced theory, that doesn't mean the reduced theory doesn't have some Lagrangian formulation, just not coming canonically from above. I think Janssen also sort of looked at that issue and found that he couldn't find any such things. But I don't know how exhaustively he characterized that situation.